Hi, this is Christopher Perrin with Inside Classical Education. On this podcast program, I interview a variety of leaders, administrators, and educators on topics relating to classical Christian education and its ongoing recovery and renewal in the 21st century. Archives of previous interviews can be found at our blog and podcast site at www.insideclassicaled.com. Hi, this is Christopher Perrin. We're here today with David Goodwin. David Goodwin is the headmaster of the Ambrose School in Boise, Idaho, where he's been there for 6 or 7 years now.
Yes.
Yes. Is it six or seven?
Six.
Okay, six. David, tell us a little bit about how you came to be a headmaster at a classical Christian school in Boise, Idaho. What brought you there?
Well, I don't think my story is that much different than most or than many headmasters who were working in the business community and ended up, for one reason or another, running a school. In my case, I worked in the technology sector for Hewlett-Packard. I worked in marketing, and I was completely happy doing that, but the Lord had other plans. We developed some issues at the school. I was on the board and had been for some time. I took an interim post at the school to work on its situation and ended up staying, and I've been there for about 6 years.
Hmm. Now, so when you were working for Hewlett-Packard doing marketing, obviously you were thinking about promoting products for Hewlett-Packard or services. Tell us a little bit about what you did for Hewlett-Packard, because then I want to draw some comparisons to how those skills may have transferred into your leading of a school.
Well, over 15 years, you do a few different things. I started out working a bit on some technical elements of marketing and then worked into product marketing, which is really the design of products around customer needs and benefits. And then I worked into some market development, what's called channel development. That's really the end of marketing that works on moving products through and around into customers' hands via various channel partners like resellers, that kind of thing. And then I worked on business development with several areas of the industry.
Well, David, how would you say your professional training at Hewlett-Packard has found expression in leading a classical Christian school? Where are the points of connection there?
Well, there's always application for business in just about everything you do, and certainly running a classical Christian school is running a business. Now, it's a little different in that profit is not our motive. Mm-hmm. Typically, our motive is to educate students and do so to the glory of God. I think it's neat that in classical education we have a distinctive. We can, unlike many products in marketplaces around the world, we have something that is truly different. And as a marketer for those years, I worked in an industry where sometimes the difference between you and the competitors was, a very small difference in reality. And you had to make something of that as you marketed it. One of the things that we have as an advantage in the classical Christian realm is that our product is both different and better than what else is out there. And that's a marketer's dream.
Easier to stand out. Easier to be a purple cow, to use Seth Godin's term.
Yes.
Well, not only his term. Well, what about just in terms of getting a message out that's heard and understood? Because communicating what it is that we are doing in these classical Christian schools, as you know, is challenging.
Yes. Well, that is the tough job in marketing classical Christian schools, is that while we are quite different, sometimes it can be a hazard to be too different. And when you're too different, you have to tell people what you are, and that can be a complex thing to do because their point of reference isn't where your point of reference is. And in classical education, that is probably our greatest challenge. The greatest benefit we have is that as we market our schools, we have a truly different and truly better product. as we attempt to communicate that value with parents, sometimes it's difficult because their paradigms for what they're looking for don't always match up. And in my time at Hewlett-Packard, I did work on a few products that were totally, I guess what I would say is they were unappreciated in the marketplace because people didn't understand what they were. Mm-hmm. And those are always the toughest because you have to first help, in this case, parents understand what it is that you are, and then you have to tell them why they need it. And we have a good message. We have a really good message, but it is a challenging one to get across.
Mm. Now, I want to hear more about how you developed the message of the Ambrose School and help grow the school. But before we get to that, I want to offer an objection that maybe you've heard from time to time, which is you've said that there's a business aspect to the school, but isn't it a ministry? And how can we be about doing something as holy as discipling our children in a school that is taking Christian education very seriously and have it being led by a businessman who's employing marketing terminology to this enterprise, which is a holy and high calling? It seems to be kind of secular. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think there's always a danger in trying to treat things purely on a profit and loss statement. And certainly if you're in this business, and I'll call it a business, and profit and loss becomes your center point, then obviously you have some soul searching to do. Centrally, classical and Christian education is a ministry, and it is clear to me, everyone I know that is in it for the love of Christ, mm-hmm. and for the love of classical education in a Christian context. So if the criticism is that one can become too engrossed in treating it like a dollars and cents type of endeavor, that's a valid criticism and that we need to watch, because it should never become that. It's much greater than that. If the criticism, however, concerns itself with just what the day-to-day business of a school is, which is serving students and teaching them and training them to the glory of God, then yes, I suppose it is a bit of a business. There's a service element to it. We serve. Parents pay for that service in most schools. It does involve, as an interesting thing, as a ministry. Some schools are a function of their churches, which puts them, in a function with the church. But all of us serve in loco parentis, under the authority of the parents. And so serving parents is even a higher calling in the business of education than serving customers. Because in the case of the ministry of education, you are... we are effectively standing in the stead of parents at their request. Mm-hmm. And so just like any business, you have parents to serve, you have a mission to serve, and you have to pay for it. And that's part of the game.
Mm. So it sounds like, maybe put another way, every ministry has a business component, or at least many will. And I think you could argue the reverse and say probably most ministries have a business component, or most businesses have a ministry component if they're run by Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking as well that we're not only do we stand in loco parentis, but we all as Christians stand in loco Christo, that we're mm-hmm. all under the Lordship of Christ, seeking his glory. Well, let me ask you this question, maybe another kind of objection. You're not a traditionally trained academic. Aren't academics supposed to be running schools? And how does that work? How do you ensure that the school is academically well led when your background is not historically
Yes, that's an excellent question. I'm a big believer in the division of labor, in the sense that I have particular talents the Lord's given me. I've got a background that the Lord's taken me through. He called me into this, and far be it from me to argue with him about that. I just need to recognize that, you know, just like an academic would have his challenges or her challenges in the business of a school or in the ministry of a school, I have challenges as well. Mine don't happen to be spreadsheets or budgets or dollars and cents, but mine are Milton and Dante and Augustine and the many great bits of wisdom that come through having a solid academic background, as you've read through those, particularly in classical Christian education, where the standards are so high. One of the things I love about classical education is that the teachers I employ, the people who are in the discipline, they're beyond they're beyond your average educated person. They're at the level where they have a love of learning that excels, and I'd like to think that I can share that on a layman's from a layman's stance. I like to read. I try to work through that. I think it's imperative that we're all educated as well as we can be with what we have. But I would be the first to acknowledge that I defer to my academic dean on matters of academia.
But one of the things I noticed about you, David, is having known you for several years, is that you are routinely talking about, just this week you cited a dialogue of Plato that you've been reading and so forth. So it sounds to me like you are nonetheless being classically educated.
Well, you know, I grew a respect for the liberal arts in general, even in my time at HP. I noticed there I had an opportunity for a variety of reasons to be among those who were in the upper echelons of management of the company. And the liberal arts always seemed to have some role in how they got where they are. Many of them were educated in Jesuit or Catholic universities. Some were educated in secular universities in the liberal arts. I mean, for some of the time that I worked for the corporation, our CEO had her history and degree in medieval studies. So it is clearly something I've often respected, regardless of my tenure with the school. And so it was worth studying and worth, you know, I think anyone who wants to be involved in classical education but doesn't themselves love the learning is probably involved for the wrong reasons. I wouldn't want to judge their hearts, but I think that, I meet with students on a weekly basis, and I have to at least have a conversation with them. Yeah. And in our school, that's difficult to do if you haven't read Plato.
Yeah, it seems like there's always this blend that is being created as people are coming into the classical Christian school renewal, because we all are falling in love with what we weren't given, this tradition, this wisdom that comes from the classical past, and we're recovering it and renewing it. So I'm wondering, Plato talked about philosopher kings, and I'm wondering if there's a model for the executive philosopher you come with executive skills, but you come pursuing the love of knowledge and wisdom as well, and that's just part of who you are. And it seems to me that makes you a suitable leader. But there are other models of headmasters who are academics who then have to learn the business side.
Yes.
They have to learn how to be executives, how to learn to run and manage an organization. So there's usually no one who has all of these backgrounds combined with a great deal of experience and training. But I just do notice that there are many of you who've come out of, say, the business world into classical Christian schools to help the school as an organization develop. And I know one of the things that you've given a lot of thought to in terms of advancing or developing Ambrose as an institution is the way you get the message out, the way you have built and deployed the website there, and the way you've thought through that. Can we just talk about that for a moment? Websites now are becoming pretty key to any business or institution or organization. How did you think through what a website needed to be for a classical Christian school?
Well, a lot has changed in recent years. One thing that you always have to do is watch your own customers, watch your own parents as they're walking in the door. And I noticed a change several years ago, probably, you know, the web has been around for quite some time now, probably, 15, 20 years. But 5 years ago or so, we were creating the offset press, glitzy, you know, brochure type publications for parents, sending them when they called, and then when they would come in to see us, they'd have a stack of paper they printed off the web. So it became pretty evident quickly that the web was where marketing really begins. And schools are a unique thing because when you're entrusting your child to the school, it's not like you're buying a shirt from Walmart. This isn't an impulse decision. This is something you want to put some time into. And I think one of the things that those headmasters, maybe who have more of a background in the education side of things, need to understand is that fundamentally humans, whether you're marketing to them or educating them, have certain common traits, and one of them is that when it comes to their kids, they're going to take the time to do it right. And you need to watch that and see how you can communicate effectively. So what we've focused on at our school is putting ourselves in the shoes of the customer, if you will. I hate to keep using the crass business terms, but I'll just apologize for that and move on.
Prospective parent.
Yes, prospective parent is something I may not be able to get out of my lips too many times before I get my tongue tangled. But the customer in a Christian school standpoint, or a classical Christian school, you got to get a unique message to them. You got to deal with them about their kids, where they're at, and I think trying to be empathetic and put yourself in their shoes. A lot of times, one of the problems that I run into when I deal with other schools who may be struggling with enrollment or trying to grow themselves but are struggling with that and their head may not have a business background is that they communicate in accurate terms but not terms that are understood. The academic is privileged in his language or her language. They understand more about education when you speak about things like ideas or when you speak about conversations. Those are loaded words for us. We know that a conversation is more than something you would have with a drugstore clerk. But that's, we're talking about it in the classical sense as a conversation through time with the great thinkers, from Plato and Aristotle through Augustine and Aquinas, and we've got this rich history underneath what we're talking about, but parents often don't see that.
And so conversation means intellectual history. It's a code word for something much
right,
more specialized.
Right. And one of the things I think that I can bring, and one of the things that I would encourage those headmasters who maybe have more of an academic background, is to spend some time talking to the least of these in terms of the parents who are the least maybe educated, and see what resonates with them. What kinds of terminology can you change ideas and conversation into so that they're attainable? Now, it's a little vague, I suppose, but
well, this will sound even crasser than anything you've said so far. But if you compare this to a sales funnel, often there's a kind of pre-selling that goes on, and then there's a mid-level offer and a back-end offer, for people who are trying to sell things. A little I know about sales. But I wonder if it isn't important at least to think in terms of two or three levels of communication with prospective parents, that we have to start with something kind of writ large that is true but maybe not precise and not detailed, but pulls folks in. And I think you do something like that. Your website does this, and maybe in your own conversations. How do you recommend that we kind of layer conversation with parents so that we don't overwhelm them with too much detail all at once.
I smile because knowing you, Chris, I know that you're every bit the businessman you are the academic. I know that you run your own company. So your question is very astute, and I think that sales funnels are different in every industry that you're in, and one of the things to remember about classical Christian education is that most of the time when you're dealing with a kindergartner, bright-eyed and ponytailed sitting there, you're dealing with some parent who's willing to invest tens of thousands, if not more, in the future of their child, because it's not just 1 year's tuition. You're dealing with a lot of money over time. And I don't look at that, you know, we don't look at that in dollars and cents. We look at that in terms of that's a big commitment, and we need to be able to have an approach that the parent can be comfortable with and can appreciate. So the wide end of the funnel, a lot of times you have to express classical Christian education, to be a little bit crass, I suppose, in return. You have to express it in pictures and in feelings. If the wide end of your funnel is full of text and full of philosophy, parents glance at it and they don't identify with it. It doesn't reach them where they are. And one of the neat things that I've found in my study, both of marketing and of the classics, is that they actually, one of the things about classical education is it is eminently practical, despite the fact that that's not its purpose. It ends up being that way. And rhetoric, one of the principles is you've always got to take a person from where they are to where you want them to go in rhetoric. I mean, that's one of the functions of classical education. And in doing that, you have to start with something they identify with. If you start with the truth outside of that, their ability to identify it, you know, it's like Paul at Mars Hill. You know, start with where they are. They've got an altar to an unknown God. So start there and say, hey, I see you've got this altar to this unknown God. Let's talk a bit about that. Well, of course, he's talking to philosophers who are hanging around the hill in, I believe it's Athens. And so, you know, I think parents are looking for security. They're looking for joy. They're looking for many of the fruits of the Spirit that we want to see in our kids. Love, a sense of students, teachers, and faculty who love the Lord and love the kids. And that's what needs to be depicted in the wide end of your funnel. And then, once you have that, then you've got to come up with a few benefits, you know, as you narrow down, you've got to come up with a few benefits that are important to your market. And a lot of times, again, I'll keep using my crass language for business, but marketing language. All right, there we go. The next level of the funnel is to understand the values of your parents. For example, most every kindergarten, first, second grade parent that I have come in is looking around for safety. They want to make sure the kid isn't, you know, that there aren't kids wandering off, that there aren't, you know, kids playing in the streets, that you have control and order in the classroom. And a lot of it for them is just, are the kids safe? And, you know, that's not unique to classical schools. That's pretty much any school. But you start there, and you know, if that's a benefit, okay, let's address that in our literature. They also want to know that their kids are in classes where they're loved and included, and that they don't want to be in a situation where their child is being singled out, laughed at, mocked, those sorts of things. Well, in classical education, one of the highest callings of any Christian is to reproduce Christ in our children, you know, to the image of Christ, the things he is. And classical education is unique in that the way it addresses truth, the way you memorize at young ages large tracts of Scripture. In our school, we memorize 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the entire chapter at, I think, the first grade level. Mm. That's a stepping point for a parent. I've got a parent in front of me who wants to know if her son is going to be bullied, and I can talk about how classical education works to memorize those things which will convict the heart. Scripture convicts like nothing else. You know, obviously, one of the neat things about my job is I've got to spend a lot of time with kids because, you know, a business guy, I spent a lot of years driving into a big concrete building with security on all the doors and what have you. And now I get to sit with kids in my office this year I was giving speeches at our closing ceremonies and running back and forth to my office because there was a kid in tears over his parents and a problem that was going on at home. And I was you know, helping this child. He was a grammar school child emotionally at the same time. And I think that parents need to understand that classical education, the elements of it, the things that we do educate, you know, this is the trite, this is what you have to be careful of in marketing, is not to use cliches, but we're educating the whole person in the sense that we care about not just do they know their Latin, but can they apply the scriptures that they've memorized? Do they, you know, when you, there's nothing more powerful than sitting in a room holding a kid's hand who's having problems at home and being able to use scripture to bring them gently, you know, to peace. And I think that you can express that in that second layer of the funnel. You can show parents how classical education is meeting needs that they know they have. The bottom of the funnel is where it gets tricky, because now you're getting down to those families who are serious enough to put their kids in your school and they're interviewing with you. And at that point, you have to make a decision as a school as to whether their inclusion in your family as a school family is going to be supportive of the values of your school. So it's a two-way street at that point. And even in secular marketing worlds, we call them qualified leads. You know, you don't want to be bringing people into your sales funnel that really don't want your product or can't pay for it. In the classical Christian realm, and this is a distinctive of ministry, I'm always less concerned, if at all, about payment as I am about fit. Are they actually in line with what we believe? And so the bottom of the funnel for marketing a school is having a conversation with the parents, eyeball to eyeball, and going back and forth and deciding, you know, this is what we are, this is who we are, these are our values. Are you on board with those?
Mm-hmm. I've heard others summarize that concern by saying something like, we're looking for families that are looking for us, a way of trying to find a qualified lead. Well, what about the other ways that you seek to properly promote the mission and the vision of the Ambrose School? Talk about the website, and you were talking a bit about ways of interacting with parents, prospective parents. What other ways do you promote the work of Ambrose?
Well, I think the most important thing we need to remember, classical Christian education, I got into it, you know, a lot of people, I was talking to somebody just a few hours ago who did a little math in their heads and realized I have an 11-year-old and I've been on the board of the school for more than 15 years. So I was involved long before I had kids. And I think a lot of people anticipate, you know, they ask me the question, they did in those days and they still do today when they do the math, why? You know, why are you involved? And it's because, you know, for many of us who see it, who see the vision of it, we to risk the cliche, see how it can change the world. And it changes the world, not on its own, of course, but through the power of Christ. But truth, goodness, and beauty, the three tenets of classical education as a pillar, all have a powerful influence on society and culture. And once we get one of those families in the school, one of the most critical things you can do is get that message to them over and over and over again. You mentioned my knowledge of Plato. I have a limited knowledge of the Greek philosophers and a limited knowledge of the medieval philosophers because people cared enough to talk to me about them and to create forums where very smart people were talking about very interesting current event types of things in the context of the classics. And I think that's the challenge of classical Christian schools, is to remember that they're not just educating the kids, they're educating the parents. And most of us, you know, we publish a little booklet called Discover Classical Christian Education. And the subtitle of the booklet is called You'll Wish You Could Go Back to School. And that wasn't a clever thing on my part. That's what I heard from parents 50 times over, 100 times over. I mean, repeatedly. That's far and away, after I give a tour of the school and explain what we are, that's what they say. And I think that marketing, this is where, you know, your typical marketing arrangement is, once you have a customer, you just, you know, you have to work to lose them. I think in the case of classical Christian education, we have to work to keep them, because they have to be cultivated in the classics and an appreciation of them, and understanding that their child's adventure through the great books, or through grammar, logic, and rhetoric, or through any of the elements of classical education, is only as inspired as their own, you know. And so bringing them to that point is one of my goals. And so a lot of our work, we have a variety of short readings. One of the things that I've found over the years is that parents, you know, myself especially, don't have a lot of time. My nightstand is full of books I never quite get to. So we cut them down into some article-length things, and we try and, you know, do it a bit at a time until we work their way up to books. But, you know, short articles, things like that, tend to tend to be an effective tool. And there's a whole system. You know, you kind of have to work in a broader context. Again, for example, one of the things that we are planning on doing this coming year is some parenting classes. And one of the reasons we're doing parenting classes, though we're not a church, is that parents want that kind of thing. They feel like they need that. I keep getting asked for that. And I really think it's a venue for us to explain yet one more facet of classical Christian education, because parenting is part and parcel to the rearing of a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he won't depart from it. And that involves the education, and we need the partnership of the parents. And so it works well there, but we can deal with, you know, many ideas from the Proverbs on through to classic works of wisdom through the ages on what happens when you let a child grow in the wrong direction.
Dave, as we round off this interview, what would you say to a school leader, whether it's an administrator or, say, a board member, some other leader, who's wanting to promote and advance the school that they're a part of? And secondly, what would you say to a parent who's interested in learning more about classical Christian education? How would you direct a parent? Start with the school leader first.
Well, I think every market, meaning every area in which you exist, is different. I know your experience is in Pennsylvania, mine is in Idaho, two very different markets. And so I would encourage any head of school not to depend on someone else's model, because the first thing you got to understand is, who are you serving, and how, what are their needs? Not what are the needs, you know, elsewhere in the U.S., but what are the needs in my community? Part of the way you do that is you sit down and you talk to the existing people who are interested. But in the process of that, I would say to market your school, look professional. That's one of those simple things that, when I very first started working with our school, some of the materials were, you know, they looked like they were produced by a group of five guys wanting to start a school. And that's what they were produced by. But you're asking a parent to trust you with their most precious asset. And they need to be comfortable that you can live up to that. And so part of that we all face is, just how professional do you look? Do you really look the part? So when marketing school, maybe people don't read their brochures a lot, but you got to look like you know what you're doing. You've got to put the energy into doing it well on that front. Web page, you know, obviously center your energy there, even more so than it was 5 years ago. The web is now the center. In the sales model of schools, typically, you're not trying to pull in people who don't want your product. You're trying to to explain who you are to people who are searching for your product. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have a pull, you know, in the sales business, that would be the pull strategy. The web is the best solution because they can get all the information they need there, and you just have to organize it well so they can get to it quickly. To the parent who's looking to learn more about classical Christian education, I think, you know, there's a few tools, Classical Academic Press, they're available that can give them some quick studies. I know you have a book there, and at risk of the two of us being there's two books. Mine, the Discover booklet, is a good glance, but yours is a little more in-depth. And I think if a parent wants to learn about classical education, that would be a good start. Is what's the name of yours again?
What is it? Oh, an Introduction to Classical Education, A Guide for Parents.
Right, right. And they're both available there. I send parents there a lot. In fact, we have a bunch of yours on hand that we give out with once a parent is enrolled. We use mine to get them interested, and we use yours to get them educated on what it is. A lot of people refer parents to Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning or some of the books. I think that's a great step, but you've got to be sure they're ready to read that. Mm-hmm. I've had parents come back, and when they're not properly primed, they're making false assumptions about some of these, some of the ideas in it, because it does. Classical education is such a paradigm shift. I'm just full of businessisms. I don't know why I'm that way, but such
I
a paradigm.
You on it, yeah,
it's such a paradigm shift that you've got to take parents on a journey. You can't just drop them into some of the heavy stuff, and so. Now, not that Recovering is a heavy book. It's not. But if you move further into Kern's book, some of those others, the Classical Christian Education, it does get a little thicker. Mm-hmm. And so my experience is that with parents, you want to start them. One thing that I do, even within my own school, is I disciple. I'm a firm believer that discipleship is always the best model for both teaching in school and for bringing parents along. In other words, find a small core that you can use to build out into a slightly bigger core, and then out into a larger group, and then into the masses. Mm-hmm. There are some parents who are going to be very close and very excited about this, and you eventually may want them on your board. Mm-hmm. So when you sense that they've got it, just be the hound of classical Christian education and follow them and get them involved. This is investment. I mean, it's one of those things that I'm not used to. I worked in an industry where we had millions of customers, so seeing any one of them eyeball to eyeball was not something we did it, but it was something we had to work at doing and didn't do often. In classical Christian education, you need to be in the trenches with your parents, and that's what I would advise headmasters to do, is invest in growing disciples of classical Christian education. Sometimes people hear me say that and think, oh, you're deifying classical. Well, in fact, I believe classical Christian education could just be renamed Christian education. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really just what has historically been the way that Christians have been educated for around 2,000 years. And so I'm not claiming any special privilege for classical Christian educators, other than that they are in the vein of the system that has been proven as a way to come to know the Lord and own your faith. Mm-hmm. And that's why I value it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, David. If someone were wanting to get in touch with you, how would you like them to contact you?
They can email headmaster@theambroseschool.org. Mm-hmm. That's all one word, theambroseschool.org. They can visit our website, and I think there's some links on there. Or they can call our offices at 208-323-3888.
Mm-hmm. And what is the web address? The Ambrose School.
www.theambroseschool.org.
Theambroseschool.org.
Yeah, that's Ambrose, AMB, as in Baker, ROSE.
Excellent. Well, and David would be an excellent resource for anyone who would want to explore further how to market a classical Christian school. Particularly encourage listeners to visit the website of the Ambrose School to see an example of a truly creative and clear school website promoting classical Christian education, and that is theambroschool.org. Thank you very much once again, David.
Well, before I sign off, they really should know your web address too at Classical Academic Press. And I don't say this self-serving, but you guys probably sell more accessible information to parents than other places I've seen. So what's that address?
ClassicalAcademicPress.com.
I made you do it. You can blame me.
Thank you once again, David Goodwin, for being with us.